great to hear children excited about coming to church. And we trust that as they continue to do so, they will really grow deeper in wanting to come to church, but also wanting to know God. Follow with me in Philippians chapter 3. Would you stand as we read the scriptures together? The Apostle Paul writing, finishing up from last week, he writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Would you pray with me first before you sit down? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to come and worship you. And now, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? May the Spirit of God open up an understanding within our minds and our hearts so that we can grasp the things that you want us to know today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I hope you have been enjoying Philippians. It is usually one of the most enjoyable letter that Christians will say because it is a wonderful letter of joy, a letter that speaks so many wonderful things about the Christian life. I hope you also have been getting to know the Apostle Paul as we went through Galatians and also Philippians. You can see his character, who he is, his priorities, the things that are important to him. And God uses all that to speak to us about himself. As we go through this part of his testimony in chapter 3, it's interesting that he kind of speaks about his life as a process that is not finished. And we'll go through some of these things. But it's amazing to think that the Apostle Paul, he is not a young Christian at this point. When he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, when he was going there to pursue more persecution of Christians, that was more than 30 years ago from the writing of this letter. Here is perhaps the greatest Christian that ever lived, some think, experiencing all these amazing things, living through the trials, the ups and the downs of the Christian life, ministering to countless numbers of people, winning so many to Jesus Christ himself. And yet he's saying, my life is not where it needs to be. You know, it's a process that hasn't been finished yet. And sometimes, you know, we think that the Christian life, we become Christians and that's it. You know, we got it. We got everything. And you remember last week, we talked about the things that we have as Christians. And the Apostle Paul talked about all the things that he didn't care about. His whole life, his achievements, accomplishments, and all those things. They were just nothing but rubbish. You remember that. But he said, I do have these things. And you know what? As a Christian, we do have these things, you know. We know Jesus. And that's there. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1970, when I said, Jesus, will you become my Lord and Savior? I want to tell you what happened to me. I received righteousness. A positional righteousness. It's important to understand the word positional righteousness. Because you see, in heaven, my name was suddenly written in the book of life by my choice in receiving Jesus Christ. So I am now not a sinner, but a righteous person in the eyes of God, the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. So I have a positional righteousness. My name is written in the book of life. And not only that, the Spirit of God came into me. And because of that, I have the fellowship of the Spirit of God in me. I can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ like I never have been able to before. And not only that, I also have the power of the resurrection that is embedded within me. That's all there when I gave my life to Jesus Christ at the age of 13. But nevertheless, there is still a process of the Christian life. The righteousness that I need to pursue, the conditional righteousness, the sanctification process, well, that's still a ways off. And that's what Paul is talking about. It's kind of like when Barbara and I would travel back and forth from the Northeast to Houston and to Louisiana. We've probably driven it by car over 100 times. It's not all about the destination. You know, we can fly there, and we've flown probably many, many times as well. If we want to get to New York or from New York to come to Houston, you know, there's a destination. You get on the plane, it gets you there. But when you drive it, there is a process. In the process of that trip, if you've never taken it, it's a nice trip, actually. We'll stop in a place called Pigeon Forge, you know, in Tennessee, Gatlinburg. It's really nice. We'll spend a couple of days there. We'll stop in a place called Hattiesburg in Mississippi. And there, we go do some shopping. We go to these stores that Barbara knows all about. And we'll go do things like that. We might go to Lake Charles or might go to Lafayette or New Orleans, places like that. There is a process. And that process matters, not just the destination. And what we need to understand that the Christian life, yes, there is a destination. We have all that. God has given it to us. Don't you worry about it. It isn't like we don't have that. We are righteous before God. We have the life that is called eternal life. It's there. But there is a process. And this process is important. That's why God doesn't just take us into heaven. There is a process. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in his testimony. And he says, you know what? I've been a Christian for over 30 years now. I've gone through everything, but I am not there yet. So we want to look at this message here, these few verses here. And I entitled it, On Your Mark, Get Set, Go. You know, that's what we have to do. Whether you want to or not, you are in this process. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're not in the process, you need to get to that process by believing Jesus, giving your life to him. But the first thing we find here is that the Apostle Paul says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. He knew that he was not there yet. Now, why is that important? I don't know if you wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I have things to pursue. I'm not there yet. We might think about that in our careers. We might think about that in our education. If you're a student yet, you don't have to get there. But have you thought about it as a Christian? That in your Christian life, there are so many things yet that you need to pursue. You are not there yet. If you think that you are there, you're in trouble. There are people that spoke to me before. I have spoken to people that literally said to me, I have not sinned for the last 20 years. Because they just thought that, you know, once I gave my life to Jesus, everything's set. It's all there. Or they might not even be thinking about pursuing the Christian life. They said, I'm a Christian, yeah, so I do whatever I want to do. And you can tell this because I want to tell you that statistically, a typical and average Christian, not in CBC, I know, goes to church about twice a month. You know, don't get overboard. You know, don't go killing yourself with it. Just show up. You're a Christian. You're a member of the church. Go there, do something, share something, give your tithe, whatever it is. But you know what? Don't get overboard. Don't go so religious about your life. And so a lot of Christians are like that, you know. They just figure they have that life already. They got it. You know, they're there already. They're set. The name is in the book of life. They're going to go to heaven, and that's about it. Well, if you are like that, then you will be wrong. You will be missing out on a whole wonderful life that God has in mind for you. The Apostle Paul, 30 years, more than 30 years, close to the end of his life, says, you know what? I'm not there yet. I know that I haven't gotten there yet. Perfection is not in my life, not yet. And not that he's going to be perfect on earth, not at all, but he wants to pursue it to a place where he can change and continuously change. You know, I want my prayer life to be better. I want my attitude to be better. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life to be better. I want to be closer to what Jesus wants me to be. So it's important for you to understand that you're not there yet. Just as Paul was not there yet, you and I are not there yet. And that's good for us to know, because if we know that, then we have a goal. We have a destination. We have something to say, you know what, God, thank you so much for this process of the Christian life. I want to get to where you want me to be. And every day, if you wake up and you think about that, you are a different person. You will think differently. You won't say, you know what, my life's all set as a Christian. I want to do other things. No, no, no. You're not going to do that, because you have a pursuit still that you must make as a Christian. The second thing that the Apostle Paul writes here, he understood that this process, this Christian life, well, you need to give a phenomenal effort. He says, I press on. He didn't say, I'll try sometime. No. He says, I press on. I have to make great effort for this. The Christian life is a hard life. You know, but by the grace of God, we can't live the Christian life. We know that. But even in the midst of God's grace in our lives, he requires that we make efforts. You can read throughout Scripture. He talks about it all the time. We have to make great efforts toward the Christian life. It isn't a life that just makes our lives better. You know, that's one of the struggles I think Christians have today. That the Christian life, and we talked about this in the messages earlier, is like, you know, being a Christian just makes our lives better. Last week I mentioned, like, it's like your life is a 6 and the Christian life makes it a 9. No, it's not like that. Your life was a minus 10. When Christ came into your life, your life is way up there. It's on the other end now. But you have to make the effort, allowing and seeking after God's grace to change your life. And sometimes some things are easy. Somehow God does it for some of them. You know, some of our attitudes and maybe our behavior, our language. You know, I share with you before that when I became a Christian, all my cursing went away. I couldn't even say those words anymore. I couldn't even think those words. And when I watch it on TV and I hear those words, it just offends me. It makes me, I don't like this movie at all, that kind of thing. It's something that God gave to me. That was good because I was just, every other word was a bad word. But there are other things that are a lot harder. You have to make an effort at it. And I shared with you before that one of my struggles was anger. I used to get angry a lot because I was a competitive person. I would be angry on the courts, you know. When I'm playing basketball in tournaments, I get angry at the other team. I get angry at the ref. I get angry at my own teammate. I get angry at myself. And it took a lot of efforts. It took a lot of years before the anger was crucified and put down. The Apostle Paul knew that. He said, I press on. He understood that the Christian life, this process of life that is so important, require effort. And he said, well, what for? You know, you're going to be saved anyway at the end. You're going to go to heaven. What does it matter? Well, it matters a lot. Because not only are you making the effort to become something that God wants you to be, you're also examples for others, you know. The life that you live here demonstrates to others how wonderful and awesome the Christian life is. You have to make a lot of effort. And in the process of that, he says, I press on. He says, this is what I do. One thing I do. He says, I forget the past. And I pursue what is ahead of me. One of the struggles that we have these days, and it happens to most of us, is we are always kind of held back with our past, you know? Whether our past was a great past, or our past was a terrible past. Most of us probably have some difficulties in our past. And the Apostle Paul writes about it. He writes about his past. I mean, he talks about his past, and he's disgusted with his life, actually. In other places, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he talks about his past. He talks about how it was so awful that he persecuted Christians, you know? And he hated his past. But he said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. He said, I don't want the past to define my future. And a lot of times we do that. That doesn't mean that the past, all the things that God has done, cannot build up and help us move forward. Of course it can. But he will not allow the past to define his future. Sometimes we just keep looking back at the things of the past, and it's just, we struggle with that. You know, we can't do this because of that. We're afraid of this because of what happened in the past. You know, people are saying things about me. That didn't go too well in the past. We give all these kinds of things, but the Apostle Paul said, I press on. I am going to take all those things in the past. I'm just going to leave them in the past. And it's interesting that he uses the illustration of a runner. He does that a lot, actually, the Apostle Paul. He uses athletic things to describe and for us to understand what the Christian life is about. He uses as a runner, and if you ever ran in competition, whether a marathon, just running around, or if you really had a race in school, you know that you can never look back if you want to win. It doesn't matter what happened back there. You are going forward. You have to give your 100% going forward, not the past. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted us to understand, that forgetting what is past, whatever happened in the past, just leave it there. God is going to deal with it. He's going to enable us, and by his grace, we will be able to respond to the grace of God in a positive way. But what is past? You can't change the past. You can't touch the past. It's gone. And don't let your past define who you are now and what you will be in the future. And he says, and straining toward what is ahead. This is what he's talking about, pressing. The Greek word here for straining is a really tough word. It is literally straining, stretching your muscles. That's it. It describes it in athletic ways. Making sure that your muscles, every bit of it, can be used to go forward. Yesterday, some guys, God bless these guys, took me to see the NFL Hall of Fame that's traveling around. It's at TSU yesterday. And there's a lot of fun things about it. I was trying to find my Giants and see how many Hall of Famers are there. Not too many. I don't know if we have any. I think we do have a couple of Texans, too. I kind of think Matt Schaub should be, but, you know, who knows. I thought he was a good quarterback. But what, at the end of it, we went to this exhibit. It's really interesting. And they had these molds of these athletes' legs. It was, you haven't seen it, you got to see it. I'm like, how could they be their legs? I mean, the legs like here to me. How big are they, you know? In fact, one of the fellows, they went in and fit his whole body in one of the legs. I mean, the whole body. And I couldn't. I'm a little bigger, you know? And it's interesting, you know, you see the calves and the thighs, the gigantic thighs that these guys had. Let me tell you something. They didn't just get those thighs. They weren't born with those thighs. I hope not, you know. They had to work at it. There's how many pounds, hundreds of pounds of squatting they had to do. They did that so that they can be linemen that would move the pack, you know. That's what they had to do. They strained and strain and made the efforts. That's what that word straining means. So they had to forget the past, forget what happened in high school, you know, the championship that we did not win, on and on. Now we're going to make our bodies in such a way that we can move forward. That's what these athletes were doing, straining forward. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He's saying, this Christian life, I'm not there yet. But you know what? I'm going to forget what happened in the past, the bad things, and I'm sure he remembered persecuting people. He remembered sitting there when Stephen, a great and godly man, was stoned to death in front of him with his approval, holding the clothes of these guys stoning. He remembered those things, but he said, I got to give it up. I got to let it go, and I'm going to strain forward so that I can make it. I can get to the goal that I'm looking toward. So the last point here, understanding and focusing my life upon the goal. And what is the goal? See, you know, you talk about this. The Apostle Paul here, after 30 years of ministry, he's saying, I still got to get there. What is it that he's trying to get to? What is he trying to get to? You go all the way back, and you begin to understand that the Apostle Paul has one goal. And everything about his life revolved around this goal. And that goal was to be like Jesus. The goal is to be Christ-like. That's what it's about. Everything about his life was about that. You say, wait a minute, but he was a great missionary. He's a great church planter. He's a great evangelist. All those things revolved around the goal of being Christ-like, because Christ, Jesus, his goal was all those things. His purpose in life is all those things. His purpose coming down was all those things. And the Apostle Paul said, I want my life's goal to become like Christ. That's what I want it to be. Now you say, wait a minute, that's pretty general. Well, there are very specific goals too, all right, that fits into it. The Apostle Paul, he knew who he was. He knew that he was an apostle. He knew that God has called him for a different life. He knew that God has pulled him out of this Pharisee life, this teaching life, in this secular situation, into this ministry. He knew what it was. But in the process of all that, he was going to be Christ-like. That's what he wanted to be. And one day he will be like that. But right now he's not. There's so many things he has to, you know, change and pursue and allow God and the Spirit of God to change in his life so that he can become Christ-like. He says, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What kind of goals do you have? You know, it's very trite to say, yeah, I want to be more like Christ. Really? What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? you know, one of the things that I really enjoy, I mean, it came out a long time ago, and I think it's kind of dissipating now, is WWJD, right? WWJD. It was all the craze amongst teenagers and high school young people. WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, you want to succinct that a little more, you can understand it. It basically means, I want to be Christ-like. I want to do what Jesus would do. I want to act like Jesus would act. I would say what Jesus would say. That's what it is, and it's a great thing. I wish that it would continue to flourish. WWJD. Is that our goal? What would Jesus do in this? There's this big goal, this goal here, the target that the Apostle Paul is talking about. I want to be like Christ. That means that when someone comes at me and says something nasty to me, how would I respond to that? Do you know? Yeah, if something didn't go the way I want it, and I'm going to be angry about it. You know, I wake up in the morning, I'm a bit tired, I'm going to be grumpy and grouchy, and everybody should get out of my way. Is that it? What would Jesus do? Now, in order to know that, you need to know the Word of God. In order to know what would Jesus do for your life, you need to know what God says about things, what Jesus did. And one of the things that you should do, if you really want to know the character of Jesus, really study his life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. You know, we can read all about it and see how he responded amazing ways. That's so important for the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm going to focus my life on that. Now, we have a real tendency to focus our lives on a lot of other things. Yeah, something comes up and it's like, I got a test. I remember, you know, in my high school days, the most important thing was the Regents, right? I'm not sure what they are now. Whatever grade you have in school is important that when you take those Regents tests at the end, it's really important. I remember that before the Regents, I would stop everything. I would stop everything. And I just go through it, review everything I can review, buy the books of the past, and do all those tests again and again and again. It was really important to me to do well, and I did pretty well. I remember one stretch of time, I was in the church, and one of my older brother in the Lord, he helped me through a lot of things. His name is Ricky. And I said, Ricky, you know, I'm not going to be in church this week. I'm studying for my Regents. Totally sounds normal. You know, if you're an Asian student trying to study hard and get, you know, good grades, you're going to do that. I'm not going to go to church. And he just kind of looked at me and said, really? Really? Your school is more important than Jesus? It just caught me. You know, I was just a teenager. I was, I think, in 11th grade. It just caught me. I thought, I guess they are. And that helped me change my mind. I came to church. I did all the things I did. I studied hard, too. And nevertheless, they proved to me that, you know, studies were more important than Jesus. See, these are the kind of things that we need to understand. A lot of times we focus on these goals of life. They're big goals, important goals, our families, you know, our marriage, our career, you know, our safety. All these things are important. Yes, they are. In fact, some more important than others. But are they more important than being like Jesus? Are they more important than being Christ-like? You say, well, they're really important. They should be all part of this. No, you can't do that. If your marriage, all right, I'm going to say it, which is so important, but if your marriage is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're off goal. You're shooting the wrong place. If your children are more important than Jesus, then you miss the mark. Certainly, if your career is far more important than Jesus, you miss the mark way off. You can say those kind of things. You can say the words. But let me tell you something. It's what you do. It's how you walk the walk. And those people, those Christians, those committed, mature Christians who say, you know, I don't have enough time. I go to church twice a month. That's enough. I want to tell them, if they are here, if they are the people that I met before in the past, you're missing the mark. Because you need to know that you need to focus your life on that goal. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And then he goes on and he finishes off those verses. And it's interesting here. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. In other words, he's saying, if you're a mature Christian, don't talk about being a mature Christian because you've been a Christian for 30 years. I've been a Christian for 30 years, Paul said. And I'm thinking this way. If you're mature, you should think this way. That's what he's saying, verse 15. And he says, if some point you differ with me, God is going to make it clear to you. Are we open to that? Are we open to letting God speak to our hearts and say, you know what? My life is not quite like what Paul is saying. Please speak to my heart. Let me know how to focus my life upon you. The goal, being Christ-like. And then let me know the sub-goals that fit into that goal. See, for the Apostle Paul, he had that goal of being Christ-like. Which means for him to be that apostle that's willing to go anywhere and everywhere, to plant churches, to win people to Jesus Christ. Those are all part of that goal of being Christ-like. That's what God has called him to be. What has God called you to be? To be Christ-like. Living out the plans that he has for you. As we continue in Philippians, it's just phenomenal. But as you understand these things, and as you begin to apply these things into your life, I want to tell you something that happens. You know, we talk about it is the letter of joy. It is. Joy that comes from God will well up into your heart because you will begin to understand your life. You understand how much God has in mind for your life. That this wonderful man, after 30 years of a full life, still has so much to go, and he's not looking at it as a bad thing. He's excited about it. He's excited about the next chapter of his life. He's excited about where God is going to lead him next. I mean, those are things that fill up and well up in a person whose life has a purpose and meaning and has ultimately a direction and a place where God has called us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for all that you've given to us. But more than that, I want to thank you for the all that you have in mind for us. Father, I pray that each one of us here in this room would know you in a personal way, would discover